Let's bow our heads and pray as we begin. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's great to see you here today on what is a sober occasion as we recall two world wars and many conflicts since. I've not met all of you before. I'm Simon Vibert, the new-ish vicar here of about 2 months. And many of the congregation will know this, but I come originally from the island of Jersey in the English Channel. Everybody's recollection of war is different. Despite the colour of my hair, I cannot recall either the First or the Second World War. But as you get older, I think you have a greater interest, really, in what has gone on before. And I spent quite a bit of time sitting down with my parents, who are both in their 80s now, talking about what it was like to be a child during the Second World War. Some of you will know that Jersey was occupied by the German army, and for several years they were expecting imminently to be overrun and to use the Channel Islands as a foothold to conquer the rest of Great Britain. And one of the things that I have done with both my parents, their wartime experiences are different, but I'll just tell you about my father's, is to sit down with him and actually to fill an MP3 player with some of his recollections. And there are a number of things about recalling that I think have sharpened my own perception of what it was like to live in an enemy-occupied territory. Never really knowing what the end will be, not knowing how long the conflict would go on for, and always a fear that the worst might happen. And for me, it's become a little bit of a parable for what it is to live as a believer in this world. We live in an enemy-occupied territory, as it were, with the world, the flesh, and the devil doing their worst to make us forget about God. And yet, we are given the resources to find peace, joy, victory, and new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we gather in a Christian church this morning, we bring to mind the things that can give us confidence in our faith, and supremely, the victory that the Lord Jesus won over death through his saving sacrifice on the cross. Now, everybody's memory is different, and some of you sitting here will have active memories of living through or even serving in conflict. But memory is a strange thing, isn't it? Particularly when you think you're losing it. A member of my family, who will remain nameless, was on one occasion visiting around the Carnation Nursery in Jersey and went around and saw all the wonderful carnations, walked through all of the greenhouses, came to the end of the tour where there was a shop where you could buy a bunch of flowers to go home. And to his considerable embarrassment, he asked for a bunch of chrysanthemums and got a very withering look from the young lady on the checkout saying, "You do realise, sir, this is a carnation nursery." Well, there are all sorts of ways in which our memory can fail us, and I don't know what you do in order to help you remember. It does seem as that as we get older, we have a great memory for our childhoods and what happened in the distant past, but often seem to be unable to remember why we walked from the living room into the kitchen and what was the purpose of that particular journey. What do you do to help? Did you ever play that game, Pairs? I'm absolutely rubbish at it. But there are those who are pretty good. They have a memory, a visual memory, for seeing what comes before their eyes and to make a recollection. Maybe you tie a knot in your handkerchief Maybe if you're a smartphone addict, you write something in Evernote or something like that. Maybe you write something on your hand. But what do you do to remember? Our memory works in different ways. I have a very good memory for numbers and a terrible memory for quite a lot of other things. There's something about smell that's very evocative, isn't it, which can trigger memories. My mother used to take a particular perfume with her on holiday so that when she wore it again, that would bring back the memories of where she was when she had a holiday. Repetition, not neglecting the things that are familiar to you, to do all you can to actively remember. And a day like today is for that purpose. We will remember them. We will bring it to mind. We will live in the light of what has gone before. We will actively remember. We will make sure that there are things that trigger a memory of the cost that was paid to buy us freedom. What kind of memory are we talking about? Well, this week, many of us have either peered out the window or walked to Wentworth or gone to a private fireworks display. And you know very well that this is a commemoration of the events of 1605 with the failed assassination of King James with the plans to blow up the House of Lords. But I don't know about you, but I was taught this little memory device around the 5th of December. Remember, remember, the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason and plot. We see no reason why gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. And the intention is that as we see the fireworks flashing in the sky, we remember with thanks that that attempted overthrow of the king was thwarted. And we've also already brought to mind today these famous words from Robert Lawrence Binion, actually published on the 12th of September 1914, very early on in the conflict of the First World War. They were appeared in the Times. And this is a longer poem, but most people know these words from this stanza the best. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. But as I've already alluded to, the kind of memory that we're being called to is multifaceted. Yes, it means don't ever forget. But it also means learn the lessons from history. It means live in the light of those who gave so much so you can be free. And actually, with our Bibles open in front of us, we notice that there are many, many passages that speak about remembering. Lots of them actually are warning passages. So, for example, those ones have disappeared, I'll come back to that. So, for example, there's consistent refrain in the Old Testament about the people of Israel forgetting that the Lord their God had rescued them from slavery in Egypt. And they forgot, and they forgot again and again and again. And it's there in Psalm 42. They failed to remember all that God had done in rescuing them. And so it's for that reason, I think, that the Apostle Paul finishes his last letter to Timothy, where he is in prison, we believe, in Rome, almost certainly about to face his death. And he passes on to Timothy instructions about how the Christian church will continue through later generations beyond the life of the apostles. He has already said in earlier on in the chapter we read to Timothy, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. He's looking down the generations and says, Timothy, bring to mind the things I've taught you. Make sure that you impress upon them those you are training and that they in turn will teach and train others in the faith, looking two or three generations further down the line. And actually, this verse here that was in our passage, he says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. The word remember is the word from which we get our English word, mnemonic. And you know what a mnemonic is, don't you? It's an aid to memory, an alliteration, or maybe a phrase. In fact, we thought about one 2 weeks ago. We thought about the phrase grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a mnemonic. Timothy, when you're tempted to flail in the Christian life, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Remember this Jesus. So I wonder whether I can help you a little bit this morning with this act and art of remembering. Let me give you four things in the Bible that are said about memory. And just to aid your memory, as preachers are prone, they all begin with the letter S. And the first is this, the Sabbath. So the Ten Commandments, as we call them, are made up of a set of instructions towards obeying God, summarized by Jesus, obeying him with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and a set of instructions with respect to living out our faith, love to one another. And the fourth is kind of a bridge between our obedience to God and our obedience to one another. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, I don't think that Moses thought that somehow or other the Jew would get to the end of their Saturday and suddenly go, I clean forgot it was the Sabbath. Somebody should have told me. Because he's talking about a kind of memory which involves living in the pattern of creation as God has ordered it. For 6 days, God made this world, and on the seventh, he rested. That he would follow a pattern whereby he would remember the goodness of God's creation and he would remember to meet with other people. And so there's an intentionality to look at the world around and say, thank you, God, that you made this beautiful world. I want to steward it rightly and appropriately. Thank you, God, that you made me part of the people of God, so I'm going to commit to meet with them, to remember that Sabbath rhythm. Secondly, is sacrament. We've already celebrated the Lord's Supper at 8 a.m. this morning. And as we come to Jesus' words of institution, we know that he took bread, and he poured out wine, he broke the bread, and he gave them the wine, and he said, do this in remembrance of me. An ongoing, perpetual remembrance by eating bread and by drinking wine to recall what Jesus was about to do, namely to go to the cross where his body would be broken, where his blood would be poured out, so that we might know forgiveness of sins. The author of our 1662 liturgy in the Book of Common Prayer spoke about the sacraments of bread and wine as being God's visible words. So alongside the preached word, you have bread and wine to aid the memory. And as we eat and as we drink and do this week in, week out, we remember the Lord Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. The third S is sacrifice. And we've already alluded to it, actually, in the sacrament. But at the crossroads, literally, of history, stands the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we believe that he shed his blood, not because he was in any way guilty himself, but because he took upon himself the sins of the whole world, so that we, by believing, may trust in him. And he also said to his followers that if you'll be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me. The pattern of sacrifice, giving of oneself for another, motivates actually some of the greatest sacrifices ever made in our history, in our wars, but actually motivates every believer to give of themselves for other people. At the heart of the love of God is saving sacrifice. And at the heart of the believing Christian community should be that self-giving, sacrificial love too. Saviour. This is our verse. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. The cross was not the end for Jesus. We believe that on the third day, he rose from death, was seen by hundreds of witnesses, and is affirmed as being alive even today. Affirmation that indeed, as we sometimes sing, the price was paid, that Jesus has indeed dealt with sin, that for all who put their trust in him and apprehend it personally, they can know Jesus the Saviour. And this is the same one who is descended from David. And what Paul means here is that he was really human of sovereign descent from King David, but a real human. Descended from David, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the enthroned one, the one raised from the dead, the Saviour of the world. Remember Christ Jesus. So maybe those four S's will help you just as you think about what is it that we are to remember in our Christian life. We affirm, don't we, that we will remember them. We also affirm that we will remember him on every occasion. Yes, it means we mustn't forget, but it also means we should reflect and pause why it is that Jesus came to do all this. That we should remember the cost and the sacrifice. That we should live in the light of what has been done for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. That will make us grateful. And, of course, it's important that we make it personal. That we ourselves know that actually it was for me that Jesus hung there. And therefore, out of gratitude, I will spend out my life for others, giving of myself so that they too may know something of the love of God that we find in Christ Jesus our Lord. I hope that some of those words resonate with you. The cost, freedom, sacrifice, respect, shed blood, gratitude. Those are some of the big themes of today. And as you bring them to mind, I hope that they will make the Lord Jesus precious to you as the one who has bought it all so that you can be free. And if you'd like to talk any more about that afterwards, please find me or one of the other members of the team. We'd love to talk more if you would wish. But for now, let's bow our heads and pray together. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Lord Jesus, we've remembered today those who've given their life and sacrifice in many, many conflicts and wars. And Lord, we can't help but think that if more of us would remember Jesus Christ, just maybe there would be more peace on earth. We pray that we would remember him, that we may find our sins to be forgiven, we may know the overwhelming love of God, and we may share that to our needy and broken world. For in his name we pray. Amen.